Ladies and gentlemen, in breaking news, David Clarkson has been traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Let's go! Like, holy crap. Like, this is breaking news here, folks. The Toronto Maple Leafs have traded David Clarkson to the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Nathan Horton. This is instant. I can't even speak. I'm losing my mind. Chris, just take it away.
Dave Nonis, oh, my God, what did you just do? This guy, everyone was thinking his job's on the line. He just saved his ass. Like, I want to know what Kekalainen, is he drunk right now or what's he smoking? Because he's freaking, like, what was he thinking? Clarkson,
what
just happened? I'm not even a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and I'm freaking out.
There's, oh, my God. Like, I have no words. This is, I can't even explain to you, like, the amount of, to truly process this. This was the immovable contract. This was the thing that it was never going to happen. We were stuck with him. Everyone thought that this was going to be the contract that the Leafs just held on to for 4 or 5 years that they just suffered with and was the symbol of everything that was wrong with previous management and the reign that held on this team for decades. And they moved him. They moved him. And he's gone. And Columbus has him. And there's no words. There's no words, Chris. There's nothing to say.
You know, as a Habs fan, it's funny looking at Twitter and seeing Maple Leafs freak out. The most I've ever seen them when they lose a salary. It's not like they make the playoffs or they have this huge run. It's they lost David Clarkson. But
You're absolutely right, though. You're absolutely right. That's the most pathetic thing about it is that this is what they're getting excited for. But this is... Of all the things to get excited for, this is the granddaddy. This is, like, this is incredible. I can't even process this. It's like, they got him. He's gone. No words.
If you dump a guy like Phaneuf, your team, your big contract now is Kessel. Like, if I'm Toronto, I'm looking to dump Phaneuf. But now you really start this rebuild as a clean slate. I mean, you have Kessel with that big contract, and that's it. Like, you can take your slate with that money and use all that money to do whatever you want with it. But it's, like I said, Nonis, like, how did he do this? How did he do that? It's crazy.
Credit obviously goes to Nonis for this deal. I'm sure Brendan Shanahan had a hand in this as well. I'm just trying to process this here. Like, just thinking, okay, so let's recap the year and a half that he was here. Let's just think about it, okay? He had 118 games, only 15 goals, and 11 assists. Like, he really was one of the worst free agent signings in the first year and a half of a contract that maybe we've seen in the modern era, at least in the salary cap era. Like, this was honestly the train wreck from hell. I don't think, if you really look back on it, like, remember the hype surrounding this guy. The Hockey News cover with the blue blood stain. The Wendell Clarkson Sports Toronto Sun cover. I mean, you just look back on his history. Everyone thought it was this hometown kid coming back to Toronto, and he was going to flip Wendell's numbers, 17-71, and everyone was just fired up that they got this guy who was going to be the leader that, you know, represented everything that was good with the Leafs. But it was the complete opposite. It was one of the, oh my gosh, it really is one of the worst eras in the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the David Clarkson era. He did utterly jack squat. And hey, I feel for the guy, honestly, as much as I've just torn him apart for 5 minutes. He is a human being who has a job and is trying to earn it, and he thought he was doing right by coming home. And he thought that, you know, I'm a free agent. I'm a highly touted free agent. And let's be honest, Clarkson was a medium fish in a very, very small pond. I mean, there's no other options that free agent season, so someone was going to pay him, and the Leafs ended up doing it, and they thought it was this, you know, brilliant boy coming home, but he didn't. There was just so little. And it started with the suspension where he jumped off the bench and tried to fight in the preseason, and right off the bat it was just cursed, and it didn't turn out. And I'll let you talk for a bit. I just have to think for a sec.
Well, don't feel too bad. I mean, he's still making like $6 million a year. But
for 5.5 more years, he's gonna make 5.25 average a year for 5.5 more years.
Yuri Kekalainen is a smart general manager, so I want to know what he's thinking, what he thought about this deal. I mean, can you take any positive part with the Blue Jackets? I mean, you get a guy now that you're paying a huge price that actually plays instead of Horton, but, like, you're on a non-playoff team, even though next year the likelihood of them making the playoffs is huge. I think this year they just had all these injuries. I mean, this team's going to be very good, but why would you waste the cap on a guy like this that won't even, like, he's not going to be a 30-goal scorer. You look at his stats, he had 30 goals once with the Kitchener Rangers in the OHL. He had it once, and once in the NHL. Like, that's nothing. I mean, that happens all the time. It's this guy, the free agent market that year was so bad that David Clarkson was going to make that much money. And that's the problem with free agency sometimes. Like, it can be so bad that teams need to meet that cap, or they overvalue players, and they're paying that guy, they're throwing all their money at him. I remember Montreal was interested in David Clarkson, and all I thought to myself was, I mean, this guy is not going to be, like, he's a 30-goal scorer for 1 year. This guy is not going to be a 30-goal scorer later on. I mean, that contract that the Leafs signed, everyone was just kind of like, everyone from the outside, I think Leafs fans were excited because this team's kind of, like, changing in a way, but it was a bad contract. But as a Leafs fan, you've got to be so happy. Even though it's sad that Leafs fans are this happy about something so, not little, but just not things that should be make a team or fan, or like a team happy about or fan base. But this team is going in the right direction. And like I said, if you can dump for enough as well, the cap space is going to be huge. And imagine getting McDavid now, and you can build around yourself with this team, with that cap space. But them being the Toronto Maple Leafs, they'll probably go get Mike Richards now, right?
a lot just thrown there. There's so many ways to look at this from the Leafs' perspective. First of all, let's mention another thing that we haven't even brought up. No salary retention. Like, the Leafs don't need anything. I thought it was almost a guarantee if they were gonna move him, they would have to at least eat half. And to think about that, that's $2.6 million a year for 6 years. And people were almost trying to justify it, which I can't even begin to process how Columbus makes this deal. What I will say, though, I do understand what Columbus is trying to say in the sense that Nathan Orton, who is the player going the other way, he seems like his career's coming to an end, if it hasn't already been confirmed. He's had some real bad injury problems, and he still has a lot of years left on his contract. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but you know, from Columbus's perspective, taking on a salary, and there are some comparables to Horton and Clarkson. Horton's a much more productive offensive player, or at least was. But when you have Clarkson now, is a player who's going to a new team, and honestly, this might be the best thing that ever happened to him. If you think about this, he had to get out of Toronto. The climate was getting volatile. And the thing about David Clarkson and the Toronto mainstream media was that you could almost – like, count the amount of articles that were like, Clarkson finding stride in recent games, or Clarkson producing more in recently. And it would say, like, little things. We need to have a 4 or 5 game hot streak, or his PDO was through the roof. The thing with him is that he always got a pass. He never got truly criticized by anyone. And it was only recently when we could see the wheels falling off and Carlisle was fired and they were losing at a rate that I still can't even begin to understand. one of the worst seasons in their history in the modern era. And now at this stage where, you know, he gets out, and he represented everything that was wrong with what the Leafs were, and now he's gone. That contract's gone. That it's gone, and you're taking on someone, Nathan Horton. You're going to put him on long-term injury reserve, and what they decide to do with him or what Horton decides to do with the rest of his career, we'll see down the road. But you take that on, you put him on LTIR, and now you have the first major piece move. Like you said, now if you're going to trade Dion, there's an opportunity to trade him. But what this does now, maybe you can hold on to some more guys than you thought you could. Maybe Kessel's not as much of a trade commodity as he previously was. Now you can hold on to him, and if someone really wants to give you an offer that really blows your mind, then you would start to listen. But if you're going to do this rebuild, moving Clarkson's contract out of the way, it really clears up a lot of opportunities for you. And I'm interested to see what they do after this. But this in itself, no matter what they do the rest of the deadline or even leading up to the draft, this really is one of the biggest things to happen of the year for the Leafs.
I'm excited to see what they do this free agency. I mean, are they going to throw money at another big guy now? But, I mean, what I would have loved as a Habs fan is if David Clarkson, because he had approved this trade first because he has no move clause, I would have loved to see him say, no, actually, I want to stay. I don't want to go to Columbus. Like, that would have just, he would have pulled the Josh Georges and it would have been great. But I think it was yesterday that Nonis made the trade for Sill and he traded Winnick. Yeah, it was yesterday. And he had the press conference and he said he's not done. Like, he's most likely not done. You've got to think this trade has been talked about for the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's something so big that you don't just say, okay, yeah, let's throw this trade up. I mean, you've got to go to ownership. Both teams have to go to ownership for that, because the Leafs are going to put them on LTIR. But just to see what the Leafs did here, it interests me a lot, because I feel that they're going to do something huge, something else that's bigger than this. In a possibility, I feel like
I'll interrupt you here. I just read a tweet from Dreger, and it said that surprisingly, sounds like Clarkson deal only took days to put together. Shocking. So if that's true, then just to imagine if they did it on Monday or Tuesday, they're like, one of them just called the other and said, hey, I'll throw an idea at you. I bet you it was one of those, they looked at all their brain trust and said, yeah, we're doing it. Let's go. But go ahead on your point.
Like I was saying, though, I really feel like something bigger is happening. I mean, I think this team really has a vision of where they want to go now, which is good. I mean, they need that. They finally have a vision, maybe. But for some reason, it's just a gut feeling. If they trade Phil Kessel, they're going to regret it. I think it's the stupidest thing you can do, but I feel like they're going to do it. I feel like he may go. I look at teams like the Florida Panthers, the Nashville Predators. Nashville's not going to be interested this year. But in the offseason, I can totally see the Nashville Predators going at getting him. I just feel like Phil Kessel doesn't want to be in Toronto as much. I mean, he's just not the guy that wants to be the media. Like, Toronto is too attached to Phil Kessel and Dion Phaneuf. And Dion and Phil should just leave. And this team should go a separate way with Kadri and whoever they draft and Morgan Rielly. I mean, this team, they've got some young players that are actually pretty good. And everyone, it's all negative part stuff this year. It's all been negative. But there are positive parts about this team. And this, it just got even more positive. I mean, you lost. If you could trade one person, it would have been Clarkson, right?
Well, see, what you're saying, though, is I see what you're saying when it comes to unloading on guys from the core. But I think that Kessel's a guy that you'd want to hold on to now. But the thing with Dion is I think Dion especially, he wants to move out of Toronto. I think that he's at a stage where he's taken so much heat and he takes so much abuse from media fans, et cetera, that I think he wants an opportunity to go somewhere and be a second-pairing guy. Like, I've said it before, man. Dion thrived best when he was in Calgary getting second-pair minutes with power play. That's what he is. And he knows that that's where he produces best. And now he's in Toronto. They ask him to be Chris Pronger. He's not Chris Pronger, but he still is a good player. But I think that someone is going to take a run at Dion. He's already, the team's taking calls on him. You know that There's an opportunity to move him by the draft. But I think with Phil, I think he's a player that personally I would want to hold on to maybe a little longer than what you'd expect down the road. But we'll see. We'll see. But like you said, there are a lot of pieces with Toronto that you want to build with, especially Kadri, Bozak, or sorry, not Bozak, sorry. Riley, Gardner, and even guys like Peter Holland. I want to see play in an extended role. I want to see how Connor Brown develops. I want to see Willie Nylander, who so far with the Marlies has looked unbelievable. I mean, this team does have a lot of players that you look at and say, you know what, if we can compile more prospects and if we can build these guys the right way and get them that time in the AHL, like, look at Kadri. A lot of people were criticizing him because he spent a lot of time in the AHL and said he's not producing at the rate that we want him to. He's not speeding up enough. But you know what? He's turning into a very legitimate NHLer, and maybe you need a little bit of seasoning in the AHL before you really become a, you know, an NHL caliber player who can have a job in the league. But like you said, there's no end to what the Leafs could end up doing here. There's so much they have to do. Like, I'm still in awe at what just happened. We're, again, to remind everyone, David Clarkson has been traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Nathan Horton. Chris, like, anything else on this? We can move on, and there's a lot more to cover, too. There's a lot more trades, and there's a lot more traded speculation that we can get to. But any final thoughts on Clarkson?
I will be very excited to see him score 50 goals with the Columbus Blue Jackets. So I'll end it up with that.
You know what's funny? I don't think that's going to happen, but...
No, I just wanted to... But... Yeah. It'd be the best story out there. I would love that.
You know what? To be honest, I hope he does produce a little bit in Columbus. I hope he does become a... You know, like, he was getting healthied in Toronto, and he was just really struggling, and it just worked out where there was an opportunity to move him. But I hope that in Columbus he does find a little bit of a niche and becomes a productive player. But I find it funny now that he's going to play with Boone Jenner, who is better than him, even though I bet you Jenner at some point in his career was told you got to be like David Clarkson. You got to be a physical forward who can, you know, get to the front of the net and bang and rebounds. But they're on the same team, and Boone is much more of a better player than Clarkson. But, oh, it's just funny to think about. But, I don't know, moving on.
It's been a crazy last 3 days, yeah.
It really has. Let's look at another trade that just happened about, I'd say, an hour and a half ago, around there. Jaromir Jagr traded to the Florida Panthers in exchange for a second-round pick and a conditional third-round pick, depending on the Devils deciding if they want Florida's third-round pick or Minnesota's third-round pick. Jagr to the Cats. It's interesting. I was reading through all the options of trade eligible players, and when Jagr's name came up, no one mentioned Florida. It was a lot of Chicago or Pittsburgh or the Islanders, and no one ever brought up Florida. But Chris, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a good move. I thought the second round picks a lot. It really is. I mean, but Lou Lamoriello said in his press conference that the reason he did that, he still thinks his team. A playoff team. I don't know. I'm not going to go there. But he still thinks that. And he said the reason he traded Jagr was because that offer was too good to say no to. The second round picks a lot. But Talon's real message here, and you got to think ownership was part of it, is we're going for it. I mean, it's a good message. You know, you've got a lot of those young guys, Bukestad, Barkov, and Ekblad. You know, you bring in a guy like that. Jagr made, like you said last show, a Hartnell and Giroux so much better players. I mean, he's so good with younger talent, and he'll fit that top six role very well. With the team of Boston struggling, I mean, it really is a race for who can get a couple points between Philadelphia and Boston and the Panthers. Because, I mean, if you look at their last 10 games, all three of those teams, they're all done horrible. But it really shows that the Florida Panthers are going out there and wanting to make the playoffs. And I actually like the trade as a Panther fan. It sends the right message, And it also, it's good leadership, and it's a perfect guy to put in there if you're going to go for the playoffs. It's a good guy to have there, and I bet Yammer Yager would love to play in Florida instead of New Jersey.
When I was looking up Yag's numbers before the show, he's only got 11 goals and 29 points this year. So when I saw the return that New Jersey got, a second and a third, and those are valuable draft picks when it comes to trading. I was thought, a little steep, 43 years old, but, Florida made the deal, and they think that, like you said, now is as good a time as ever to make the playoffs. They're 2 points behind Boston. They're right in it. When I was looking at Yags, he was leading the Devils in, I guess it's called now, shot attempts. He's leading in shot attempt percentage, and they've hovered around the mid-40s all year. They've been one of the worst possession teams in the league, or at least in the bottom tier. And, he's a player that, even at 43, his wheels aren't there anymore. He doesn't skate as well as he used to. He doesn't glide like he used to. After you now he's going into a situation in Florida where they're a team that is 25th in the league in goals. I mean, they've struggled heavily. And when you think about how they've done in the sense that now Florida, they have a guy who they can come in. If Yarbrough Yager was on the Panthers right now, he's fourth on the team in points. I mean, like, he's already one of the top producers, and he's going to come in and be surrounded by young talent. And this is an opportunity to see how he's going to do with a team that's battling for a playoff spot, because, like we said, no matter what Lamoriello says, they're not a playoff team. Another thing about this, Yager said just yesterday to reporters that he knew once Pete DeBoer got fired, he knew he was going to get less ice time. And it's interesting that within a 24-hour cycle, he's already been dealt. It seems like the gears really kicked in, and right after that release was sent out, you could see that teams were going to call the Devils and see what kind of offer they'd be interested in. And congrats to New Jersey for getting a pretty good return when you think about it. Second and a third, and, we'll see how. I think we have Chris back on the line. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, sorry, man.
Oh, no worries, man. Just talking about Yags, how now Florida, one of the lowest scoring teams in the league, they had a guy who can come in and see what he can do with a younger talent surrounding him.
Yeah, and I mean, he wanted to go to a place where he could play top 6 minutes and kind of play the role he played with Boston and Philadelphia when he was there. And I mean, he went to the right spot. He kind of brings everything the Panthers need, veteran leadership and some goal scoring, and it'll help that power play for sure. I don't see them going farther than a first round, but I think the whole point of the Florida Panthers this year is to make the first round and just make the playoffs itself. But it's a good trade. I just saw that Fleischmann most likely will be traded, so they're going to get a draft pick for that, and they'll get their draft picks back. But this team's already so good with youth. I mean, I think they... If there was a team that can afford it, they can afford trading a second-round pick.
Yeah, and the thing about the Cats that you got to remember is, despite being one of the lowest-scoring teams in the league, they have Roberto Luongo. And adding him this year, it really did wonders for them in the sense that now they've got a legitimate goaltender to play. They don't have to worry about not having as much offensive depth or defensive depth in a particularly weak Eastern Conference. Luongo this year has a .920 save percentage. I mean, Florida's nowhere near a playoff spot if it's not for him. If they make the playoffs, he has to be considered a legitimate candidate for the Hart Trophy, because that trophy, as much as it's the MVP of the league, it's the player who best exemplifies the MVP of his team, and single-handedly taking the Florida Panthers to the playoffs with 43-year-old Jaromir Jagr coming to save the day, it really is going to be one of the best stories of the year. And the sports writers, they love a good story when it comes to the voting. We're going to move on a little bit. Chris, any last thoughts on the Yager deal?
No, I think, like I said, it was a good deal for the Florida Panthers, and we'll see how it works out.
No doubt. Another move that just happened recently. was the LA Kings acquiring Andre Sequeira from the Hurricanes for a first-round pick and a deep prospect, Roland McEwen, who is currently with the Kingston Frontenacs. What did you think about the deal, Chris?
Too much. I mean, I know the LA Kings had a trade for a defenseman, but a first-round pick. I mean, Sequeira's a good defenseman. I guess they're rewarding the team with two Stanley Cups, but I mean, I didn't like that deal when I first saw it, and we'll see how it goes. But I think Sequeira, this market is so bad, the rental market, that I think Sequeira was worth so much more than he should have been. I mean, he's a fourth defenseman on a good team like that.
I think the thing about this deal was that, like you said, it was such a weak market, and you know, we saw Franzen already had been traded to Nashville, and it was tough to find D, especially D who have, you know, expiring contracts. Sequeira is a UFA at the end of the year, and I think the thing that really made him attractive to a lot of teams is that he's only got a cap of 1.75, and they were talking about that on Sportsnet Hockey Central today, how because his contract's such a low cap hit and because he's been able to produce, like, he's got a 53% possession rate. He can play top 4 minutes. He's on every special team. He's a valuable player. And, yeah, the first-round pick is a little steep. You're not sure what kind of value you're really getting there. But, you know, credit to the Kings. They needed help on the blue line. They've been hot lately. They look like they might come into the playoffs soon. So they added on their blue line. And it's not a bad deal to make, but it is a little steep. Especially D prospect Roland McEwen. He was a second-round pick last year, and he was a part of the AAA Marlboro system. He's actually the captain of the team, and his teammates were Connor McDavid, Sam Bennett, and Joshua Hosang. Impressive company, no doubt. And
pretty good.
He's the captain of that team. So it'll be interesting to see how he'll get to develop in Carolina. That's a team that's struggling lately. It looks like they might be on a little bit of a rebuild as well, and there's a lot of opportunity for players to grow in that system, and I think that'll be important for their development. Chris, we got 2.5 minutes left. That Clarkson deal, man, that totally blew all the windows off the show. I had like 2 pages of notes. I was all excited. We're going to talk about a few deals and see what else is going to happen, and then the story of the week happened. This might be the biggest trade of the trade deadline, and it's with 2 teams who are not even close to making the playoffs. Chris, any last remarks on any deals that have happened in the last few days or players you might think could be available?
Yeah, I'm just happy with Montreal getting Devontae Smith-Pelly. I think he'll fit really well with that team. Yuri Saakash was a great player, but he didn't fit the mold of this team. And finally, Montreal is getting a guy that can hit and plays a physical brand of hockey at a young age. He's not a guy that's been playing for multiple years and is all roughed up and his NHL career is over. This guy is going to be here for a while, and I really like that trade. But I'll say this. Everyone's talking about how slow this deadline is going to be. I mean, there's already been 2 trades that no one's expected, the Saakash trade and this Clarkson trade. And every year everyone's saying, oh, it's going to be a bad deadline on Monday. I can assure you it will be a good one. There are so many sellers and there's so many buyers. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I'll give you credit on that Smith-Pelly deal. You know, it's 2 guys who are 22 years old, and I think it's just a chance for both guys to be in a different system. I think it'll be better for Sakic to be in a system where he can have more of a role and not be relied on for big minutes. And I think it'll be good for Smith-Pelly to go to Montreal. There's a young D core there, and they're only growing with Tenorti and Boyu, and obviously one of the best D in the league, PK Subban. We'll see how that works out. 30 seconds left. Yeah, there are a lot of options left still in this trade deadline. Chris, last words.
We'll have our deadline show on next Monday, and it'll be exciting. Hopefully there's many more surprises.
Well, you better believe it, man.
Yeah.
Folks, follow me at Hunter Crowther. Follow him at ChrisShannon16. At thehockeyguys.net. Check it out. Listen to the podcast. Hell of a show. David Clarkson of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Oh, my God.